Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with David Niles and Juan Posada. Juan is joining us this evening. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are recording this a little early because Dave is going on a little bit of a vacay soon, and so we wanted to make sure to get this recorded, so this is going to air right now, whenever you're hearing it right now.
But yeah, it's airing now.
It's airing right now, so.
Although, when you said we're recording this early, I was like, whoa, it does not feel early to me.
No, it's not early. It's
And it's not particularly late. It's just I have been in the sun all weekend.
Yes. This is Memorial Day weekend. This is actually Memorial Day that we're recording this, so. I too have been outside all weekend in the sun, feeling a little drained.
Yeah, dude, I feel so wiped. I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh.
Feeling a little exhausted, but
it's
okay.
Going to be a great episode. Sometimes, you know, when you're a little tired, you get a little delirious, and I think a little deliria is sometimes what the Holy Spirit needs in order to work
in you. So
just crazy enough to say something crazy.
And bold.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's get into this drink, because I'm very excited about this.
Have you had this drink before?
I have, once, but it was a while ago.
A while?
Yes.
Where did Juan Posada go?
I don't know. He just bailed from the studio. I don't know.
This is a bad time for him to leave.
Well.
So, okay. We are drinking a Founders product this evening. It's Founders Dankwood. It's an Imperial Red India Pale Ale, aged in bourbon barrels. Tell me that doesn't sound delicious.
Do you think, I'm in the process of painting my house right now. Do you think I should age the paint in bourbon barrels?
I do.
It just seems like everything
is better aged in bourbon barrels.
So maybe I need to
I'm planning on aging my children in bourbon barrels, actually.
I'm a big fan of Founders in general. Dave,
me too.
You and I have talked about this because they do produce...
Juan went to go get a lighter for our Viaggi candle.
Oh, very good, Juan. Shame. It was just a bad timing on your part because we were opening the beer. But Founders it's one of those breweries that they produce good beers, good craft beers at a decent price. Not great.
Like, that's exactly what I like about them. Their beer is no less good than anybody else, but they price them...
They're really expensive stuff. They're like KBS, things like that. Yeah. Those are expensive.
Right. But those are appropriate. Those are priced even with other beers of that quality. KBS is one of the best beers on the planet.
It's really good. It is really
good. It's my kind of beer. That's my kind of beer.
But all of their other, like their staples... Are well brewed and decent price.
This
affordable.
One is not super cheap.
Okay.
This is, I think, about $10 for four beers. It's a kind of a standard price these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible.
I'm kind of sad that is kind of a standard price.
This is a 2018 release.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if you have the other two still, do you still have the other two?
No,
or at least one?
No. I drank those. Yeah. I drank those quickly.
Okay. All right, well,
you have no idea the virtue it took
to save these.
Two. Yeah.
All right, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Iubensium Jesu.
Iubensium Jesu.
I clearly did a better pour than you. Look at that delicious head I got.
Yes, you did. Let's see.
Is that not a phenomenal beer?
It is. It is a really good beer. 12.2% alcohol, so it's very strong.
It's strong. Mm-hmm. Well, it's imperial,
right? It's a palate. It says it's a palate stunner that'll send your senses spinning, or as we like to call it, dankwood.
So I was doing something today. I was sitting on the toilet, looking at a can of All Day IPA, another Founders product. And it's just,
oh my gosh.
Had some funny stuff on it. It said stuff like, drink responsibly. They don't serve Founders in a clink.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read.
Yeah, I'll bet they don't. Do you think they serve any beer in the clink?
No. No alcohol.
I hope not.
Rich
caramel. I mean, you're in prison. It's supposed to like be bad.
It says rich caramel notes emerge from the depths of the IPA, highlighting strong malt character while the bourbon barrel aging develops the complexity. A dank, sticky, and slightly sweet sipper. Dank wood is the perfect of wood and hops.
Mm-hmm. I really do think it's phenomenal.
It is a very good beer.
But once again, it's aged in bourbon barrels. That's why. I'm with you. It's why really don't good. We start aging other stuff in bourbon barrels?
Yeah, yeah.
What if they aged hummus in bourbon barrels?
I don't know. I'm not a big hummus person.
What?
So
heresy. Heresy.
I don't know. I mean,
do not come close to my children.
I'll please eat it, stay but it's not like something that I don't get jacked up about. Like, if you said bacon, or like, what if they aged bacon in bourbon barrels, or brisket in bourbon barrels, or
sure, I'm all about those too.
Street tacos,
but hummus is phenomenal.
Okay,
I ate half a thing of hummus today.
How virtuous of you.
I only ate half. That's the moderation, right? That's right in the middle.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah, it's the exact middle of the hummus container.
Right.
I thought it was incredibly Saint Thomasian of me.
Wait, I just want to...
Saint Thomasian. Oh, okay.
Okay.
You heard me.
This is quality, quality. We did not introduce the show. I'll let you introduce it. The three things that we do.
Okay. So you're listening, if you haven't figured it out by now, to the Catholic Man Show with Adam and Hannah and David Niles. I'm David Niles.
TM.
Too much?
No. Trademark.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was like, too much information? I didn't know what you... Okay. Anyway, we do three things every episode of the Catholic Man Show. The first thing we're already doing, we've opened, reviewed, we are reviewing, and we will continue to enjoy a manly beverage. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to highlight a man gear of some kind. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to have a manly discussion. Today, it's a kind of a free-for-all on the discussion.
Yeah, we decided that the last couple episodes, we've had some really good quality, structured...
So we
had some really quality structured conversations with some quality guests.
Yeah, yeah, no
Carlo,
doubt.
Carlo, Father Jovita, like that was a lot of fun at Holy Family.
Dr. Marcel.
Yeah. Dr. Marcel. All of those were very structured, very good conversations. So we said, hey, why don't we just talk?
Have an unstructured, good conversation.
Well, there's been a lot of times before we get started on the Catholic Man Show that you and I start talking about something, whatever happened throughout this week or whatever, and we start getting into this conversation. 20 minutes later, we were like, ugh,
we should have just recorded
why
that.
Why did we just not record that? Yeah. So yeah, hopefully that's what happens this time. Maybe not. Maybe the last 5 minutes, maybe a lot of dead air or Dave humming or singing or I don't know.
I'll go get my recorder.
Yes. Because nothing says good radio.
Manly. Like the recorder.
Like the recorder. Yeah. So we'll
see. It kind of makes me mad how good I am at the recorder. Like,
because even just, how good you are, it's not very fun to listen to.
Good. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter the proficiency you have at that instrument. It's not good.
I mean, case in point, Dwight Schrute. He was blaring on the recorder a William Joel song, Billy Joel.
William Joel.
And Michael Scott was like, what the heck is that? Stop it. Dwight Schrute was like, it's William Joel. It's your favorite song. Who the heck is William Joel? It's Billy Joel. Anyway.
I'm going to start doing that. William Joel.
William Joel. Anyway. So we're going to just kind of have a relaxing conversation. We have no show notes. We have no idea what we're actually going to talk about, but that'll be the third and fourth segment of this show. Let's talk about the camp out for a second, because that's okay. Something that's exciting.
October 18th. It's coming up.
October 8th. It's not really coming
up. It's coming up. It's coming.
Yes.
It's approaching at a steady pace.
We've had a lot of questions about it, so let's hopefully clear the air on the camp out. One, if you're a Council of Man member, you can go to thecatholicmanshow.com and click on the COM button to learn more. But if you're a Council of Man member, you are...
It's free.
Mm-hmm. You do not have to pay anything. It is at Clear Creek Abbey in Oklahoma.
In Hobart, Oklahoma. If you don't know where Hobart is, you are among the rest of Oklahomans who don't know where Hobart is, except for the few that live there.
Yes, but Clear Creek Abbey is absolutely gorgeous.
That's kind of one of the good things about it. It's really in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. What we will be doing is we will be camping out on the grounds of Clear Creek Abbey. We will have Juan that will be cooking ridiculous food for us all weekend. We will have a whiskey tasting. We get to eat dinner at times with the monks. Mm-hmm. They're at Clear Creek.
Dinner and lunch.
Maybe even have them give us a talk.
Yep.
We're trying to coordinate that. So anyway.
I'm hoping to get us a tour with the blacksmith.
Oh, yes. We have a few things. If you came last year, we have a few more things that we're going to try to squeeze in that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So
yeah, some new stuff. Also, I'm trying to bring in Aerosmith.
Steven Tyler hasn't gotten back to us, but we're really working on it. Anyway,
nothing says contemplative monk an Aerosmith concert.
We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. I'm here with Adam Minahan. The ineffable Juan Posada is here in the studio with us. I don't really know what ineffable means. I don't even know if that's actually a word, but he's here.
Dave, right before we started, he's like, "All right, are you ready? We're going to go." I was like, "Sure." And you're like, yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah, I'm ready. Whatever that means. Yeah. Ineffable. All right. Wow. Yeah. Juan, you're on top of it with the Google. Too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words.
That's not the word you're actually looking for.
I knew it was a word. See, this is like a contradiction of words. It's like, it's a word that means it's too great for any word. But there's still a word for it.
Anyway, we actually got cut off the last segment because we didn't have our bumper music turned on in our headphones. We didn't realize. That's
okay. I'm going to fix it.
Okay. Good deal.
I'm going to fix
it. We very rarely edit anything on this show.
Recently, my daughter was in her car seat on the way home. And my wife and her were talking about something that was broken. She said, "Well, Dad's going to have to fix it." This is Pamela, my wife. And Elizabeth, my oldest daughter, she goes, "Yeah, Dad, he's a fixer." And I was like, Pamela was telling me about this later, and I was thinking, yes. Well, way to go, daughter. I was very proud of her because I am not what I would call a handy man. You know, like, right. I would say I'm below average in handiness.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm probably average.
Unless, of course, you need something like played on the piano, then I'm above average in handiness. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
You see, that's almost a pun. But... I was very proud of her.
We've been in the sun all day, guys. I mean, come on. Yeah, you gotta give us that. Give us that pun.
So anyway, I was very proud of Elizabeth.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So today she
jumped off the diving board today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
3 years old, way ahead of her class.
So today we were over at your parents' house for Memorial Day and for the evening, and the evening was kind of winding down after dinner, and your dad looked at me and goes, "So... do you want to smoke a cigar, drink a whiskey, and then go fire some rockets?"
And shoot rockets.
How can I not say yes to that? Like, you try to say no.
Yeah, not like I would, but even if I did say no, that'd be bad because my man card's already been punched too many times today. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so we went and drink a little whiskey, smoked a cigar, and fired some rockets. It was awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Which is the man gear today. We're talking about rockets.
Rockets. That's a NASA or... Elon Musk's company?
Tesla?
No, his rocket company.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
If I hadn't been in the sun all day. They just had a launch recently. Hmm. They sent a couple satellites into space. It worked.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll think of it later.
Rockets is not the man gear today.
One of his rockets, though, that's the man gear. They land themselves.
That's nice. The actual man gear today is brought to you by Joe and David, councilman members. They gave us this idea, which I thought was a very good
David
idea.
David Bates. We have a couple different Davids.
That's true. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. That's good.
And Joe Q. We have a couple different Joes as well.
Again, thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
The man gear for today is a passport. And I thought that was a really good one.
Yeah.
I think every man needs a passport because... it's all about being prepared. You know, whenever I have to travel outside of the U.S., mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that have to happen. And I've never traveled outside of the U.S. with my whole family before. I did with my wife, I guess, on my honeymoon. But outside of that...
Yeah, that was your whole family.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was talking about with kids.
Yeah.
But whenever you are traveling outside of the U.S., there are a lot of things you have to, a lot of checklists that have to be made.
And the passport kind of gets last minute. Yeah, it's like a last minute scramble sometimes.
Right. And if you go to certain countries, you have to get a visa before you can even go. You have to get an invitation. And sometimes that takes months to get approved.
Mm.
You have to send your visa down to, you have to send your passport down to a U.S. Embassy Exchange Center, and so mail that takes at least a week. Sometimes you can get it rushed, but
you know what, this is how I feel about those places. It's like, you're making Americans do that. Clearly you just don't want my money. Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, because you have to pay for it.
I think that's fair enough.
Like $250.
Like you're making me get a visa. And this is, I know there are people from other countries who are going to hear me say this, and they're going to be like, Dave, you're a stupid American.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I am.
Yeah, you are.
But, okay, this is America, okay?
We have listeners outside of America,
I know, we have a lot.
This is not going well.
We have a lot.
I know.
But it's like...
this is not going to go well.
Come on, we're the tourists. It's like, let us come and spend money in your country. I don't know.
When I
just think it's weird.
When I asked, I had the opportunity to interview Raymond Arroyo about a year and a half ago, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I recorded it for the Council of Man. That's one of our exclusive contents. But one of the questions that I asked him was, because he's about 10 years older than us. And I asked him, if you could go back and tell 10 years ago, Raymond, what you know now. You know, what advice would you give him? And he said...
don't go to Mexico.
He said, don't be afraid to take your family on trips to make memories.
Uh-huh.
He said, if it means take them out of school for a few days, if it means cancel certain things, some obligations that you have, day-to-day obligations, he said, it's going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to remember those certain, kids going away for school for 3 days is not going to harm them. But the memories that
it might be good for them.
The memories that you make as a family will be something that you treasure forever, cherish forever.
Yeah.
And so that's what he said. He said, don't be afraid to take your family places if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And make memories.
I think that's good advice.
And I agree that it's good advice, but...
it's also really expensive.
Yeah, you have to be
prudent.
It's
just kind of one of those things that... that's...
I would love to do it if I
it's
could.
It's easier said than done.
Right. But I don't think that... and this kind of goes against what our man gear is, which is the passport, meaning traveling outside of the U.S. But I don't think that you have to travel outside the U.S. to have a good, family memory.
Mm-mm.
You can pack up and go to the lake for a weekend or go camping.
Yeah, I also don't think that you have to go to a new place all the time.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think that's cool too, if you can... visit new things and see new places. But growing up, we have my family has a cabin in northern Michigan. I'm getting ready to head up there next week.
Which is why we're recording early.
Yeah. And, you know, I have so many good memories being there. But also, I will say, I went to Rome a couple years ago, and I took my oldest, who was 5 months old at the time. Pretty special memories.
Who got kissed by the Pope.
Right, yeah.
That's something we haven't talked about since, I don't know, maybe the first five episodes.
Yeah. So I was really glad I brought my family along.
Right.
So that she could get kissed by the Pope.
Because for you to get kissed by the Pope would probably not happen.
I would take it.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't be able to, that probably wouldn't happen.
No.
So, that is so cool. And they got a picture of her getting kissed by the Pope.
Oh, like, yeah.
That was so cool. That's something we hadn't talked about.
Man, that would really light up the blogosphere if Pope Francis pulled a grown man out of the audience.
And kissed him on the
kissing
forehead.
Kissing these babies, and then there's just this one dude, you know.
Yeah, especially the mustache.
Right there on the forehead.
Okay, can we talk about something really fast? I know that this is off topic, but you have created this... this phenomenon going on with the stash. I don't know what happened.
Adam, I want to say that I'm flattered. And people do this all the time. When I do things, they think that obviously I created it. But actually, I did not invent the mustache.
Yeah. I understand. But ever since you've started this mustache gig, we have guys that are posting pictures on the Council of Man Facebook page. Juan Posada's over here, sitting here with his caterpillar on his upper lip.
Juan's mustache looks awesome.
Yeah, because
his is way better than mine.
It is very full.
Tell the story about Luke Brain.
Oh, man. Okay. Juan just said, tell the story about Luke praying. So my oldest son, Luke, you know, we say our prayers. I bless them. We get you know, say our goodnights. I love you. But, you know, and as I'm walking out of the room, Luke says, love you, Dad. I say, love you too, bud. And he says, make sure you work on your mustache tonight. And it's like, man, I can't grow facial hair. Like, that's just like, that's just a dagger because... My own son's roasting me because
he went home, went downstairs and cried.
Yeah, because I can't grow a facial. You know, it's just genetics. You know, I can't do anything about it. You know, not everybody can be perfect, and so I can't grow facial hair.
I can just picture you downstairs with your tears dripping into your whiskey and going like, "Well, it does taste better with a little water."
So he did say that, and I was like, man. I can't believe he said that. Like, and it's only because he saw you with a mustache.
Work on your mustache, Dad. Come on.
Yeah, and I can't grow one to save my life.
Elizabeth is playing that whole my dad can beat up your dad thing, and I don't know what to say now that he's got a mustache.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on.
Do you remember that game? My dad can beat up your dad.
Yeah, because I won that game every time.
Yeah, unless, of course, the other kid didn't know your dad.
It still didn't matter because all I'd have to say is, yeah, well, my dad's 6'5 and 300 pounds.
And then the other kid goes, yeah, well, my dad's 6'7 and he's 400 pounds.
Let me see him. Bring him on.
Just saying. There's not a lot of like integrity on the on the playground when it comes to this game.
So I won at that game quite often.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, but yeah, so he, one of my son's last wishes for the evening was that I work on my mustache.
So he could have a dad with a mustache.
Oh, man. There's the music. When we get back, we're going to just keep talking. That's what we're going to do.
But Catholic stuff.
Catholic stuff. Manly stuff. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here enjoying a delicious Founders beer entitled Dankwood.
Way to go, Founders. I'm really proud of you for this one.
It's very delicious. In studio with David Niles and Juan Posada. This is the segment where we have a discussion, and this is kind of an open forum discussion today. Dave, one of the things that happened when we started this show, one of the things that we decided to do was have a man topic, but really that kind of birthed from a bunch of other men's groups that we were a part of where we just kind of sat around and had discussions with one another, mm-hmm. particularly about our Catholic faith, philosophy, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't really have like a launch point today, but one of the things that's been I've been struggling with, so we'll start there.
Yeah, like you know what?
What's one of my weak points?
I like this. Yeah. I like where this is headed so far.
And I'm actually, in all honesty, just going to ask you a question because it's something that I've been struggling with.
Okay.
And recently, my children are in this phase of they cannot stop asking questions. To the point, like, you know, they want to know as soon as they wake up, the first thing they ask is, what are we doing today? Who are we seeing? What are we going to do today? Where are we going? What are we doing? You know, and just like a continuation of questions. You answer them all, and it's a circular questioning system where you finish the last question and they go back into the first question again. It leads into the first question. And it's been very tough at times to keep your patience.
Yeah.
It's very tough not to snap a little bit, you know, just kind of like, guys, everybody be quiet. You know, we're trying to figure out where we're driving or, you know, we're trying to figure out what, I'm trying to talk to your mother. Like, everybody needs to be quiet. You have two girls right now. And so mm-hmm. I'm sure Elizabeth is in this stage, at least a little bit of this whole questioning, kind of whiny, questioning phase.
The whiny for sure.
Yeah, and it's brutal.
Whiny dude.
It's brutal. So, what do you do as a dad when this happens and you kind of feel yourself, you feel kind of the mm-hmm. temperature rising, you feel kind of your patience is shortening every second, every question. How do you handle that situation?
Well, sometimes I don't handle it very well. You know,
me either.
I mean, that's just the truth. So sometimes I handle it better than others, and I don't know. It's kind of, you know, like the whole dad thing is still very new for me. So mm-hmm. I'm still learning a lot of these. Elizabeth, she does this questioning thing, but for her, it's not quite so bad yet. She always wants to know what the plans are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing tomorrow mm-hmm. after nap? What are we going to do? But you tell her, and that seems to satisfy her pretty well.
Okay.
So I haven't had to deal much with the whole circular thing, but she does. She can get awfully whiny sometimes, and mm-hmm. this, like, if there was a thing to fix it, I would love to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But sometimes I will tell her, just kind of tell her that, Elizabeth, you're really starting to frustrate me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to just stop this behavior. And I think one thing I do well is telling them in advance, if you continue this behavior, these will be the consequences. And then when the behavior continues, like I know it will.
Right.
Then it's like, well.
It's this whole free will thing.
Yeah.
This is your passive will, not uh-huh. active will.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I don't want you to keep doing this, but if you do, this is what's going to happen.
You will.
Yeah. You're going to have to sit in time out, or you're going to, you know, like depending on what it is she's doing.
Right.
Lately, she started to talk back to her mom. She doesn't talk back to me like this. I think because she knows better.
Right.
But really, it would be better if she talked back to me than if she talked back to
her mother.
To my wife.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because you don't speak to my wife that way.
Right.
But where she'll just say, no. And she's three, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that was a mistake, kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mistake.
I think that you're, what I try to do is lay the ground rules very quickly. And I think my sons know this from the building, like just rearing them overall, you know,
yeah.
it's like not something that this is a surprise that, oh, all of a sudden this is now wrong.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've heard that I really like is also saying, I can't understand you in your whiny voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not responding to you in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do that too. That I'm not going to listen to you with your whiny voice. And sometimes I will, even repeat back to them or mm-hmm. to her, like, this is what you sound like. And I'll say it back in a whiny voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think that sometimes she doesn't realize what it is that a whine, like, you know, you just start telling them at some point, hey, don't whine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't even know what that really means. They mm-hmm. just know that it's bad when...
My Jude, he knows what whining is. He knows.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just a question I had.
But I am the opposite of an expert when it comes to, like, call Dr. Ray. I don't know.
Yeah, go read his books because they're really good.
That guy, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
I've listened to his show so many times where someone will call in with this very complex child behavioral thing, and I'll be thinking,
What the heck are you going to do?
And he'll give this just like simple.
Here's what he says almost all the time.
The next five things they ask for, you can only do this at a certain time. Like, he says that you can really only do that once they're three. Because at 3 years old is when they start to understand a delayed consequence. Mm-hmm. So, a 2 year old, to them, it's just, kind of mean that, why can't I, they can't make that connection that I had
some
that behavior.
Some can.
I mean, it just depends on the kid, of course, but anyway, yeah, incredibly effective.
Yeah. I like that.
You know what it really works on Elizabeth? No sheep.
She has a
stuffed sheep she likes to sleep with. Mm. If we have to take the sheep away,
mm-hmm.
it's effective.
Very good.
And sometimes she doesn't get to sleep with her sheep.
Yeah.
It's a privilege. The sheep is a privilege.
Nice.
But I recently got to go to breakfast with David Williams. In fact, you guys were not at St. Benedict's this weekend, but he and his wife Kendall are the Saint Cards people.
A Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, the Saint Kickstarter card. Who did the Saint Card game. If you guys don't know about Saint Cards, you should go Google it. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter Saint Cards. Saint Cards is all one word. And so they were from Tulsa for a while, where they went to ORU. But anyway, I got to go to breakfast with him. And that was just cool to get to catch up with him. He has got 6 kids, all young kids, beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had just a phenomenal conversation, kind of one of those conversations that at the end you said, man, we should have recorded that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about all kinds of stuff. It was no agenda, just got together to meet and mm-hmm. to talk. I'm very excited about his game.
Mm-hmm.
At some point I would like to have that be a man gear and just talk about the benefits of this type of lesson, the way it makes you learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty exciting. So in the meantime, go, and I think that you can still order them. I don't know, because they just wrapped up their Kickstarter. It was successful. So they will be launching at some point if you can't get them at this exact moment. But one of the things that we got to talking about was manliness. In fact, I think I'd like to invite him on the show next time he's in town. Just because he had so many good things to say about returning to manliness. And one of his kind of passions in life is restoring to men the dignity that being a father has, and just the honor that it really is to be a father. Because, we're just, I think it's one of those things that everybody knows, but we just kind of forget, the day-to-day grind kind of beats it out of you a little bit. And you don't feel dignified at the end of the day.
It's just like a mother.
Sure,
it's just like a mom.
Oh, totally. But at least our culture honors motherhood in a way it doesn't necessarily honor fatherhood. There's the whole...
I don't know.
You don't think so? I mean, I don't... I think as a culture, we uphold motherhood way more than fatherhood.
Well, I hope so, I guess, but...
I'm glad that they uphold motherhood, but it shouldn't be an either or. It should be both and.
Right.
But so we just got to talking about our wives and what it's like to, and one of the things he mentioned, which really struck home with me, was matrimony and how matrimony is about the woman. It's about the wife. It's even in the name. It's not patrimony.
Mm-hmm.
It's matrimony. It's about the matriarch. It's mm-hmm. about the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never had occurred to me that it's right there. Matrimony, like, wow, it is all about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so that was just such a blessing to meditate on that and just to think about, what a gift for us as men that that's what it's called, because it keeps us pointed in the right direction. You know, if we realize right. that that's what it's, that's the word, that's the name, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really up to us to serve, and it's up for the our women, our wives, our brides to allow us to serve them. You know, it's just, I just thought it was a very beautiful way to paint the picture of a vocation.
Yeah, that's a something good to think about for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah,
I like that.
Right there in the name.
When we get back, we're going to continue this discussion. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles, E. Juan Posada. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, the Peanut Gallery, Juan Posada. We have been enjoying a delicious beer by Founders, Dankwood. It's an Imperial Red India Pale Ale, aged in bourbon barrels. All things delicious in a beer could be found in my glass at this moment. We're having a good conversation about men.
Stuff.
About stuff. About things. About life. Talking about matrimony
today,
talking about vocations
today. I was running because I'm a runner now. I'm a runner,
whatever.
People weren't chasing me or anything.
You can't run two times and then call yourself a runner.
I've been running longer than that.
How many times? Three?
No, a couple weeks, or probably a week and a half.
Well, how many times in a week and a half?
About almost every day.
Every day?
Almost.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a couple days off. Anyway, I'm running. Let's just pretend like I'm a runner.
Okay.
This is a hypothetical situation. I'm running. No one is chasing me. Uh-huh. I'm just running for exercise.
Right.
Trying to get a summer bod going.
Yeah.
And I'm to that point of... I'm wanting to stop running. I'm ready to quit.
Right.
I'm trying to get my mile down under 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And today I actually was at 7:15. So I'm close. I'm getting close.
I can't tell you how little my desire is to get my mile time under 7 minutes. Just
yeah. Anyway, I don't care. Yeah, I just have to set goals for myself. Otherwise,
I would
do
rather
anything.
Be able to run like 10 miles. Without stopping.
I don't want to commit that long. I'm not interested in running for that long of a period of time.
I just think that's a lot easier to run a long distance.
Oh, so you want to take things
yeah.
Take the easy
when
way.
When it comes to running, yes.
Okay, so I'm sitting here thinking, like, no, I've already made this idea. Like, the reason why I'm saying this is because I've set a goal for myself. I'm trying to be intentional. I want to try to get under 7 minutes.
Okay.
And I'm pretty close. I'm getting, I see my watch.
Have you tried running 715. Faster?
No, I have not. It's a good strategy.
I give advice for a living, and that's what I would recommend.
But I kept pushing myself. I kept moving, even though I didn't want to anymore, to finish the mile, because I was almost basically there, and I was like, I'm basically at a mile. I can stop right now.
Yeah, we'll just call it good.
Yeah, we'll call it good. But I kept going anyway. But my body was telling me to stop, but I kept saying, no, I got to keep going. Yeah. And then afterwards, as I was cooling down, as I was walking, I thought, you know, how many times have I done that spiritually where my body is saying like, okay, I'm tired of kneeling. I'm tired of saying the rosary, or, okay, I need to get up now from adoration, or,
mm-hmm.
Something like that, where I'm wanting to leave, or I'm wanting to stop doing it, but yet I try to keep going to push myself further.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how many graces are bestowed on those moments that guys try to mentally battle that moment
yeah.
of, okay, I'm ready to quit, but yeah, I want to keep going because I've already set a goal, or because I love Christ so much that I want to stay even longer, or, you know, yeah, whatever yeah. that situation is. That's what I was thinking about. I wonder, it's those moments of I want to keep I'm going to keep going that you gain the most physically, right? Because you're pushing yourself right. even
yeah, it's
further.
Almost like you had to run all that far just to get here so that you could actually make progress.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's kind of the same way spiritually.
Good question. Yeah, I do think that there is, you know, a grace made available to us at every moment that, you know, we have to choose to accept, choose to capitalize on. Mm-hmm. And I just know that at my judgment, that's going to be my terror or my horror to see all of the grace that I turned my back on at, you know, virtually every moment of my life,
mm-hmm.
With very few exceptions. But I do think that that's a good thing. One thing that I've started to do, this is silly, but I do it to obtain grace, if grace could be obtained from this, but also to train my will. Whenever there is a car on the side of the road, or like an accident or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I do not look.
Hmm.
You know, like when you drive by construction mm-hmm. or whatever,
right.
Everybody slows down and, you know, it's like, I don't look. I want to look.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see.
Right.
I had to sit in this huge
long line right.
just to get here where everybody else is looking. I want to see.
Right.
But I don't. I keep my eyes forward and I don't look in order to train my will. And in order to, you know, like, if this is a little thing, I don't know if Jesus is happy about this or not, but I'm doing it for him. And like, I don't think he's mad about it. So
no,
I'm going to keep doing
it. That's what fasting's all about, right? It's like, I'm fasting. I'm abstaining from this. It's because I want it. It's not because it's not good. I mean, it's because I want this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to abstain from it.
Sort of like when you see a very young, pretty girl running, like mm-hmm. how hard is it? Not to just look, I mean, it's not like you're looking at her, like if you just look at her,
right.
not with any bad intent, you know, it's just right. like, I look at a beautiful flower, I look at her, I look at, you know, like all this stuff. You know, right. even if that's right. all you're doing.
Right.
It's so hard.
I mean, what happens if there's a scenario where there's a beautiful sunset with the smell of roses, you see everything blooming right there and a beautiful female running.
I'm going to have to miss the whole thing.
Just no. bail on everything.
No, I mean, like, you know, it's like, I'm just kind of kidding about that. But also, that's another thing that you can try to do. And that's way harder than not looking at the construction.
Sure.
A bunch of ugly, sweaty dudes at the construction site, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I try to find little things like that in order to train myself. Because I know that if I don't do those little things when the big thing comes... Mm-hmm. Then I'll just be overpowered. You know, it's sort of like, you know, running or exercising, and you know, you have to start off running a mile before you can run the marathon. And if we're all trying to run a marathon,
I'm not, by the way,
no, I'm not either. But if spiritually, hypothetically,
okay, I'm on board.
We're trying to run a marathon. Then we all need to be doing little things every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not just a like, oh, every now and then I do something. It should be a very regular thing. And luckily, I have to go through 2 construction sites in order to get to work every day.
What an opportunity
I
for
know.
You.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do is at work, I make an extra cold call.
Ooh, that's a good
that
one.
That is one
oh
that I
gosh.
Hate. Because I don't like making cold calls. No one.
Nobody likes cold
listen,
calls.
If you like.
Put your hand down. Yeah, you don't like doing it.
You turn this program off if you like cold calls.
The show is not for you.
But I hate making like cold calls. But the only way to build your business...
I don't even like calling you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I just do it because I have to.
I know. It's only for your sanctity. But I intentionally make extra cold calls at work... After I've already like said, nope, I'm done.
Hit your goal.
Yeah. Because I'm hoping to build
my
will.
Do you do power hours? Do you do a power hour?
I used to. I don't anymore. I used to when I was out of college. Oh, dude, there was
I've done a few power hours in my day.
We got locked in from 8 to 5, they brought in lunch for 30 minutes. You get to eat for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. No bathroom breaks.
You literally had to ask to go to the bathroom. Like, you had to say, I'm taking a break.
This might have been illegal.
Maybe. I don't know. But they did it. And from 8 to 5, I had to make cold calls. It was brutal.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so many... There's
the humanity.
I did. At one point, I put scotch tape on the dial, like, or the receiver that opens and closes to start the line. I put a scotch tape over it so that way it never turned on. And I just pretended that I was on the phone for a while. That was not very good of me.
Way to go, dude.
But, like, I was so tired of doing it.
You've grown in virtue since then.
Yes. I'm making cold calls now.
Yeah.
On
willingly,
my own.
Willingly. Yeah. You don't even have anybody
but
making you.
I think
you.
That the point is, I think that what you're saying is you have to do certain things that you don't want to do to build up your will.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, when you get hit with the big thing, when you get hit with a big temptation,
mm-hmm.
when you get hit with, you're out with a bunch of guys for dinner for your company, and they're all wanting to go someplace that you don't think it would be a good place to go, or they're all wanting to continue drinking, and it's like, we've drank enough, we don't need to keep yeah. drinking. It's very hard to say no to those people if you're not used to denying yourself in the first place. If you're not used to saying no in the first place, it's very hard to say it whenever you're put in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for us men, to train yourself in the subduing the passions of your flesh,
mm-hmm.
hunger, mm-hmm. lust, sleepiness,
thirst.
Yeah,
thirst.
Make sure you're drinking a healthy amount of water.
That's a reality show I'd watch. Thirst.
See how long these guys can go without drinking anything.
I'm just joking. That was it. Another Office reference.
It's not very long.
No, it's not.
No, it's way less than food.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, but also like, getting up early.
Dude, that is something I'm terrible at.
Yeah, like it's like a lot of people can go days without eating anything. But you ask him to get up 10 minutes early, out of the question.
You're speaking to me right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am speaking. Yeah, I guess I am. Like, I'm also literally speaking to you, but...
Right. But that is me.
Yeah, I'm a... Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, would you get up 10 minutes early for your wife tomorrow?
Sure. I'll do that.
I would like to dedicate this episode to my wife, my beautiful wife, Pamela. She's everything that's important to me, and Pamela, I love you so much. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to my wife, Haley.